Welcome back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. I'm not wearing a sweatshirt today. I tried to dress up a little bit. I was going to get all cleaned up. I was worried my hair was running a little too long, but I figured, you know, it's a new year. We got a new government coming in. Don Mohler and I are turning the page now into our third year of Baltimore Positive Podcast. We have a website now. The Ravens are playing playoff football. Don, we can go through the usual litany of sponsors. I was over at State Fair running around the 21228. I stopped in 818, had a little fun there. Our friends at Franco's down there. I did not get any Mexican at El Guapo, but I will wear the shirt next week, hopefully after a Ravens victory. And all of our sponsors, but for all of us, what we witnessed on Wednesday in the advance of these incredible conversations that you've been planning for a long time. This is going to be an interesting week here at Baltimore Positive, Don.
Well, it will be, Nestor, and we don't normally timestamp the podcast. We usually talk about them as without putting a specific date, but it's impossible to not reference that in the interviews that we're doing with our next guest and guests throughout the day, that we are less than 24 hours removed from one of the most remarkable and dispiriting days in American history. So we're going to start off with something light and airy, and we'll get to light and airy, but it is a pleasure to welcome our guest, the Howard County executive, good friend of Baltimore Positive, been with us before. Got a little beard going now. Got a little COVID beard. So it's a pleasure to welcome Howard County executive Calvin Paul. Mr. Exec, how are you?
I'm doing all right. Thanks so much for having me on. I've been masked up so much. A lot of people don't even get to see my beard, but it's a little grayer than the last time I grew it out.
I tell you, for everybody on the set here, we've all aged 100 years. We were just 5 minutes ago, we were all having a cup of coffee over at State Fair, right? Like, look, Don's hair is even getting long. We're into the second wave of the pandemic where we don't care all over again. I'm wearing sweatpants. Honestly, I am.
The family like the beard there, Mr. Exec. You get thumbs up from the family?
Thumbs up so far.
There you go. That's all that matters. Well, we have to start today because I am sure that even though you were working and trying to make sure that Howard County business was going on as usual, I am sure that whenever you could yesterday, you ended up glued to your television set just as we do. And you are not, as Howard County, not that far away from Washington, D.C. Share with our listeners what you thought when we saw armed terrorists storm the capital of the United States of America yesterday, trying to overthrow an election.
Well, just like you said, you know, we find ourselves and have for quite some time at the intersection between a global health crisis, the likes of which we haven't seen since 1918, a financial challenge and free fall, the likes of which we haven't seen since the 1930s, and a critical conversation about race and equity, the likes of which we haven't seen since the 1960s. And so we've been working through those issues. And then yesterday, anyone who loves America had to feel that it was a devastating day for democracy. Not just because of the actions of those terrorists, but that it was a realization and a reminder of just how divided and angry many in our country are.
It's, you know, I had actually, it was interesting. And Nestor, I guess one of the things we talk about with everybody is when they first realized what was happening. I was watching the beginning of the proceedings yesterday morning. I wanted to see how Vice President Pence was going to react to the pressure. I sat and I watched Mitch McConnell's opening speech, and I'm no fan of Mitch McConnell, but I thought finally somebody got religion. You know, I'd rather you get religion, you know, late in the day than never get it at all. And I thought, okay, you know, we're going to have a little bit of theater here today. And Josh Hawley and Ted Cruz are going to be them, their despicable selves. But we'll get through this. And I had a little work to do in the office. And I literally said to my wife, I'm going upstairs for a few minutes. Going to be a few more speeches. I'll be back down. And I wasn't up here for 5 minutes. And she came sort of running in and said, you need to come downstairs. It was not unlike the morning. I remember it like it was yesterday, like we all do. I was with the Board of Education. I was at BCPS at the time, Baltimore County Public Schools. I was on a member of the superintendent's cabinet. We were in a meeting, a cabinet meeting. And the chief of staff came in, opened the door, and said, you all need to get back to your offices. The United States is under attack. And we said, what do you mean the United States is under attack? And it was 9/11, and people were flying jumbo jets into the World Trade Center. It didn't even compute. We immediately left, ran back to our offices, got in touch with our principals. And this was not unlike that sense of disbelief. How did you find out, Mr. Executive, what was transpiring?
Well, similar to you, I did liken the two events, unfortunately, harken back. I remember in 9/11, I was working for the Attorney General's office at that time, Joe Curran. And I was a supervisor in the mediation unit, and I had attorneys, volunteers, interns. And when I first heard about it, just bringing my people together, making sure they were safe, and then frankly sending them home. During the pandemic, had about a third of our workforce at least working remotely, and then many of the rest of us on different shifts. And one person here in the office happened to have it on their computer and just was watching it. And then to see the events unfold and then begin having communication with our police department. I have a weekly conversation with many other regional county executives and the mayor of Baltimore. And we began talking about what was happening and the various roles that we might have to play and how we can continue to collaborate. And the attack on the People's House was such a surreal moment as it unfolded, not just as county executive thinking about how to collaborate with the state police and other jurisdictions and keep people safe, but as an American who cares about democracy, who thinks about our standing, not just throughout our nation, but our world, to see something like that in these days and times was not just despicable, but frankly disheartening.
Well, you know, it's interesting. And Nestor, I want to hear from you when you and Jen, when you saw what was taking place. But just before we came on, I received a text from someone who had just been in contact with a good friend of theirs from Washington, D.C. Here we are the morning after. And that friend indicated that D.C. residents have been warned to stay inside today because there is intel indicating that remnants of this terrorist group from yesterday will be roaming the streets of D.C. looking to assassinate, quote unquote, elites. So we are not done yet. And it's certainly historic. Historians will be writing about it for decades. Nestor, out of curiosity, how did you and Jen, because you're often in recording and Jen's working, how did you all come to
realize? I do a lot of radio in the morning, right? So,
right.
And I'm really kind of off Twitter-ish when I'm working because I'm focused. You know, I'm just focused. I want to talk about Howard County with the Howard County executive. I've been talking football all week. I've had these great memories with Ravens and Titans, and I've had this long line of – I had to blow off Anthony Mitchell, and anybody that's a Ravens fan knows that Anthony Mitchell is you know, legend around here, almost up there with Tito Landrum, right, Don? And, you know, I sat on the couch, and I looked out on my phone like I usually do, just swipe Twitter – and I follow, you know, a lot of people and people I respect. I follow people I respect, period, people that I trust. And senators were being retweeted as being swept off the floor and locked in. And it was 4 minutes old. You know, I'm seeing senators tweet senator from maybe Kansas, Missouri, you know, several senators saying we're under lockdown. I can't believe this is happening in the U.S. Capitol. And I said to Jen, it's time to put the television back on. And then from there, nothing got done. I mean, literally nothing got done. And I mean, there's a lot of appalling things for me that the three of us can unpack as citizens, as local people. We all know where Pennsylvania Avenue is, Don. You and I, along with former county executive Kevin Kamenetz, and I have pictures of me and Kiefer Mitchell, just a bunch of people in the Rose Garden, literally, with Barack Obama. Before that, I have a picture of myself with George Bush in the White House. I remember being in the Capitol building with my Dundalk Community College professor, the great Don Schaefer, who took us and taught me civics and taught me government. And I remember telling you I ran into John Glenn underneath the Capitol building one day. You know, just amazing thoughts of what's just transpired here. And quite frankly, and I'm going to be flippant, and you guys are in government, and I'm just a dude on the radio for the most part. I can't believe they weren't shot the minute they breached the door. The minute I can't believe there really wasn't mass bloodshed. I can't believe they were allowed in with things to take prisoners, weapons, bombs, explosives, Confederate flags, swastikas. I saw all of it. And I saw all of it in real time because I really follow journalists. You know, I'm a journalist. I'm a lifer journalist. I was a 15-year-old working at a newspaper. Moments like this in the Challenger, 9/11, and elections. I've told you, like, I'm sort of a news junkie, clearly, in addition to being a sports junkie. And as a citizen, the last time I was on that walkway was seeing cherry blossoms with my wife. And before that, it was the Caps Parade with Barry Trotz with a million people celebrating a beautiful thing. And I just can't imagine what it devolved into. And the aftermath to me is, where's the accountability for the people who broke the law and with ill intent, with violent intent to disrupt our government? And when you say 9/11, that's all. There's my 2 minutes on it. You guys can have
it. I want to ask before we move off this topic, because our guest has a county to run, and he's trying to run a county in the middle of a pandemic. But Mr. Exec, any of us who've been in those roles, it was impossible for me not to shift back into my county executive mindset yesterday. We always hesitate to be critical of responses of other jurisdictions. But I need your reaction, because and we'll ask other execs throughout the day. I was stunned at the lack of preparation. And in this way, when the morning began, my wife and I said, well, I'm assuming it will look like an armed fortress around the Capitol today. I truly expected to see the Capitol surrounded by National Guard in addition to the Capitol Police. And the fact that I heard this morning that the Capitol Police has a total department number of 2,100, and they had 500 on duty yesterday. Now, you run a county. I don't think you'd make those same decisions if there was a big protest going to take place around Lake Kittamaquindi sometime today. I envision you being an executive. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, I think you're right in that there will be an evaluation and assessment for not just the next days and weeks, but for years to come. Anytime, and this was to be expected because there was chatter and discussion about it for quite some time. Anytime that there's an expectation of large masses of people in potential violence, as an executive, I would generally, and I have been on the phone with police, talked about mutual aid in other jurisdictions, canceled leave, ensured that people were set up along various routes and in different places to help ensure safety. But, you know, again, the balance of aggravating people. And so I think there are ways that things can be managed that I didn't see those. And again, I was watching as an observer. I wasn't on the ground. However, I was stunned with what appeared to be not only a lack of preparation, but the time that it took to make the calls and get people in. There was loss of life. There was definitely loss of property. And I can't even imagine people going to work to do their jobs and then having others, terrorists, rifle through their offices, digging into their personal things, family pictures, mementos of different opportunities to have helped people. And that to me is just so appalling, but it is appalling on such a personal way that sends a chilling effect to each and every one of us who care about America and democracy and freedom.
Howard County Executive Calvin Ball is our guest. Don Mohler, former Baltimore County Executive, and my partner here at Baltimore Positive. We encourage you to download our podcast and check us out all week. We're going to be chatting with a lot of local leaders about the disruption on Wednesday. I want to ask both of you and get both of your feedback on this, beginning with you, County Executive. This was brought on by the President of the United States moments earlier, who stood behind bulletproof glass and literally said, "I will walk with you." That happened, and an hour later, the Capitol was stormed. As we sit here and speak, there's been no 25th, there's been no second impeachment. I'd like your feedback on that as citizens and as leaders as to the fact that as we sit here and speak, he still has the nuclear codes.
So many of us have been quite concerned with the fact that he's had the nuclear codes for quite some time. And I think that each and every one of us who is in not just elective office, but any position where there are those who follow us, have a series of tests of our leadership. And I think yesterday was another example of a failure of leadership for President Trump. There was an opportunity after the election, after all of the numerous evaluations of allegations of election fraud, after all of the court cases, to work to bringing this country together and moving toward healing. And President Trump actually began to continue to exacerbate it, continued to divide us, and continued to rile up people with misinformation. And then, as president, didn't even do the basic things to keep not just people who don't necessarily agree with him, but his followers safe. And that, to me, is just unacceptable for any leader.
Well, and let's not forget, and I really do want to move on and have you talk about your great county, but let's not forget that after a couple of hours of people begging him to make a statement yesterday to try to get involved, he grudgingly films a video that he then uses to repeat all of his lies about voter fraud, and includes in the video to the terrorist how much he loves them. Now, again, if you are a member of Trump Nation and you're listening and you say, "There goes Don again," those are not my words. Go and look at the video. The president looked directly at the camera and said, "I love you." There also, I think, is going to be another whole book to be written about the treatment of.
By the way,
terror.
I've never heard him use the word love in a video. The
Correct.
Word love, literally. I've never heard him use the word love.
Yeah, I don't think it's an emotion that he has. And the other thing that we'll commit to, Nestor, I'm going to commit to, I can't control you, but it's certainly going to be true of my blog. I hope it's true of the national media. It will be true of me on Baltimore Positive, that after January 20th, I will never mention this man's name again. He's not worthy of it. He will simply be a discredited reality TV show host. He can go off and eat as many Big Macs as he wants on whatever island he's going to be sequestered.
After Wednesday, he needs to be in a prison.
He will never, ever be mentioned here again. But Mr. County Executive, you're trying to run a county in the middle of a pandemic. I can't imagine. Talk about the let's start with some of the things that people are really zeroed in on. Seems to me there are a couple of big things. People right now are talking about schools, the economy, particularly restaurants, and the vaccination issue. So talk a little bit about you're trying to balance public health, public safety, and knowing that small businesses are hurting, particularly the restaurant industry. Tell us about how you've approached that.
So each and every day we evaluate our data. You know, it was very challenging at the beginning of this pandemic in the spring when, you know, we had two contact tracers, when the supply chain was completely broken, no one in the world could get PPE, when test kits weren't available. There were numerous challenges that we faced. So immediately the team came together, and I'm just so blessed to have such an amazing team here in Howard County and, you know, throughout the state, so many good people. And we worked to get to 50 contact tracers. We worked and put in a goal of 6,500 tests per week, which in the spring, many people scoffed at and said it was impossible. We have exceeded that goal for more than a dozen weeks and sometimes doubling it or tripling it. We set a goal of 30 days of personal protective equipment. We not only exceeded that, but then we set another goal of 90 days, and we have that. And so many other things that we were able to get accomplished. One of the things that we worked on was just educating and empowering people on wearing masks, on the importance of physical distancing, on making sure that we just wash our hands and stay out of large gatherings. Now, here in Howard County, a lot of people have actually heeded that advice. And so while our positivity rate and our case count per 100,000 is nowhere where we would like it to be, the state of Maryland is better than many other states in our nation, and Howard County has, for the last few weeks, been one of the best performing jurisdictions. And as of yesterday, we had the second lowest positivity rate and case count. And so we have been working to follow the data, educate and empower people, and then on the data following, seeing where we're getting these cases. The cases, according to our data, aren't largely coming from restaurants and bars here in Howard County. A lot of people, as I'm visiting these restaurants and checking them out, as I'm talking to restaurateurs, they are not gathering largely in there. They're doing carry out, they're doing curbside. And so having shutting that down, frankly, would have such an infinitesimal impact on helping save people, but would have an enormous impact on just how people are operating and the psyche. We're seeing it's in large gatherings. It's in when different households of people want to get together and they get carry out at a bar, restaurant, but then four or five groups of different households are gathering in a house. That's how a lot of this stuff is spreading. Or they're around numerous family members and friends, and they're like, I know you're clean, so I can take off my mask. And then it just hits weddings or, you know, cookouts or Thanksgiving meals with numerous households. So that's what we've been trying to encourage people not to engage in. And I think that that balance has been helpful thus far. And then these businesses that are struggling, getting out financial support immediately. I was able to talk with many business owners here in Howard County who have businesses in other jurisdictions, and they've seen how the federal government with the PPE was a disaster. They saw how the challenges with the state and, frankly, in some of our other jurisdictions. And here in Howard County, because our team works so hard, our Economic Development Authority, Chamber of Commerce, tourism, and many others, we got money in business owners' hands immediately so that they could keep operations going. And many of our businesses have been able to weather the storm thus far.
Mr. Exec, you also did something unique to, that I think is unique to Howard County. I haven't seen it in every jurisdiction, but I was fascinated. I'm not sure that Nestor is even aware of it, but you took a different approach to your first responders in providing them, I want to say, with antibody therapy. Talk a little bit about that, how you came to that decision and what its impact has been.
So a lot of people hear about testing, of course, and I just talked about testing. Most of the COVID testing we talk about is diagnostic testing. Do you have COVID-19 right now? Yes or no? And so all of us are doing that. Another side of the testing, which is called serology testing, is evaluating the amount of antibodies. So that helps us ascertain, have you recently had COVID-19? And if so, how many antibodies do you have, which may help us better understand how to prevent you who might not necessarily be able to get it again. But we don't know because this is such a new virus. And so we are trying to add to the body of knowledge, not just throughout the Howard County, the state, the nation, but the world in evaluating antibodies. How long do they stay in people's system? Do people, when we look at the symptoms, who may be asymptomatic, not think that they have COVID, have they had COVID and maybe gone and potentially exposed other people? So we partnered with our research partner, Johns Hopkins Applied Physics Lab, and got data from the Red Cross. And we worked in we're working in three different tranches. First tranche was numerous first responders, police, fire, sheriff's office, to evaluate how many antibodies they had. Then the next tranche was we looked at our county government, how just throughout our various departments are people having antibodies. We're now crunching those data, we're evaluating it, and we're designing a study now to open it up to the broader population. That will help us when we couple it with actually administering the vaccine to understand the prevalence of COVID-19. In some other antibody studies or serology studies around the world, we've seen that the prevalence has been anywhere from 2 to 10 times what they thought. And so that also helps with contact tracing, and it helps us keep people safe.
Well, it helps us probably get to the herd immunity we need to get to, where, you know, 80% that they've talked about. Howard County Executive Calvin Ball is here. Don Moeller is here. Listen, we can go heavy. I'm going to go a little light with you and just say I've tried to, in the last 10 months, not just grow my hair a little bit, but see new things. And my wife and I tripped along a pond in Patterson Park that I didn't know was there. And I've lived here 52 years. So my wife said, where else could we go and discover things? And I said, you know what? I've gotten to know all these county executives. So we did a day in Hartford. We did a day in Anne Arundel. And our day in Howard, I took her out to Centennial Park. And it was this beautiful day. And there were ducks and birds and geese and people and kids and masks and bridges and ponds. And it was really, really lovely. And I've waited my whole life to walk through Centennial Park. And it was awesome. And I wouldn't have done it had there not been a plague, probably. So there.
Well, first of all, let me start at the beginning. I cannot believe you said 52. That makes me really recognize how much this job is aging me.
don't build him up like that. God, who was it that told you one day we interviewed, they thought you were in your 20s? I had to go and lay down.
Motion keeps you young, Calvin. Yeah, I just got to tell you, motion keeps you young, man.
But here in Howard County, you know, we've recently, just this week, been named the second best place in the nation for job growth, 3 years in a row, the safest place in the nation. And we have invested in our parks, our recreation. We've got about 40% of Howard County that is preserved in some way. And we are known throughout not just the state, but the region, because we recognize that is so critical to quality of life. And I'm very glad that you and your wife were able to visit. I hope that you continue to come back And
well, you and I are going to get some Korean barbecue somewhere along the line before this is over with. I'll tell you, the minute the mask comes off, my wife and I think we had COVID last year. We were in Korea. We were in Seoul since the last time we saw you and went to Tokyo in late December of last year. And my wife got very sick. We don't know. So that when you talk about antibody testing, this is where these are the questions we're asking every day as citizens, like finding out. And we're looking for leadership. But when this is over, believe me, there is going to be some soju on my part. We're going to do it all up. Big time.
Right. And frankly, you know, you speak to what I think a lot of people are recognizing in this process. First, it was the shock and awe of where we are. Then it was the mourning of all that we lost. And I think many of us are transitioning into the hope and optimism of all the things we'll be able to do.
By the way, the one thing I talk about more than anything, that I'll know the plague is over, and this is God's honest truth, I said this a dozen times, is that I will know it's over when I'm on the hill at Meriwether Post Pavilion having a beer, seeing something I want to see. And I don't even know what that's going
right,
to be. Well, even something I don't want to see. How about that?
I know the county executive schedule is tight. We got to let you run. We're not even going to get to the General Assembly. We'll come back and catch you mid-session and talk about how Howard County and the counties are doing down there. But the moms and dads out there would kill me if we don't at least have you weigh in a little bit on schools. And I always say to folks in defense of my executive buddies, I say, look, you understand, we don't run the schools. I know you think we do, but we don't.
We went through that in the last episode.
As my friend Kevin Cavanaugh used to say, we're the bank. We fund them, but we don't really have a whole lot of say. But having said that, can you give us an update as to where Howard County schools are and what your thoughts are about getting kids back to school in a safe way?
Well, look, I've got two kids in the public school system, and my two kids, one is a freshman in high school, one is a senior. The two most critical years of high school. I want our kids and our educators back safely as soon as possible, just like everyone else. And so I know that it is very frustrating for many parents, especially those with kids with disabilities or don't have the kind of flexibility that many of us have. And so I definitely understand that. But to your point, we have an elected board of education, and actually education is a state function. Not only do we fund, but we can't even line item decide how money is spent in the school system. So it can be frustrating for all of us. But I tell you, everyone is working so hard to get our kids and our teachers back as soon as possible. We have had, like every other jurisdiction in the state, fits and starts of virtual to hybrid to small groups. And then as the numbers go up, pulling back, there are some who argue that the inconsistency and the in and out is actually worse for some of our kids. And then some who argue any time being able to have in-person instruction is good for many of our kids, especially on the socialization. So we actually put in $6 million from the county in addition to another $13 million that the school system got here in Howard County to help ensure that our kids are in the best teaching and learning environment possible during this challenging time. Of course, it wasn't enough, but and help move some things forward. I think as we are administering the vaccine, as we are working together, we're going to get kids and educators back in school safely very soon. Won't be soon enough for any of us, but it'll be very soon.
Mr. Exec, before you run, everybody just came through a holiday season like no other. How was this holiday season different for the Ball family from the traditional Griswold holiday season that you probably normally have?
Well, my wife is a fantastic cook, and so usually family members far and wide come and descend on the Ball household. You know, it starts with Thanksgiving, but then it culminates during Christmas, especially because, you know, we bring all the kids together, and it is a place of fellowship, of renewal, and really just starting to embrace a new year. This year, it was nothing like that. It was very small. Food was still excellent. And of course, I ate a little bit too much, but it was a time for us to not only reflect on the challenges of 2020, but just think about how amazing 2021 can be if we all do what we need to do to keep each other safe and make sure that we remind each other that even though we're physically distant, we're still connected.
We're going to have you walk off all that food over at Centennial Park with us one day, and then we'll load it back up with Korean barbecue and head to Merriweather Post. Seriously, I'll be in Howard County. I'll be your tourism director before this is all over. When it's all over, I'm going to Howard County, because it's true. Johnny O's not going to want to hear that later in the day, but appreciate you.
I grew up in Baltimore County, and I love Johnny O. But he'll understand.
He grew up Baltimore County, too.
We take you out to Oregon Ridge. You know.
Oh, see, I knew it was going to be competition. This is good. Competition's good for all of us. See you later, C. We appreciate you.
Thank you very much, County Executive.
Howard County Executive Calvin Ball joining us from Columbia, Maryland. Don Moeller also here. He's in Catonsville. I used to be in Dundalk. I'm downtown. We put this whole thing together. We've got Ravens playoffs. We've got literally a coup in the U.S. Capitol, United States. And we've got county executives and the Speaker of the House and the mayor all coming up here in the coming days and weeks at Baltimore Positive. On behalf of former Baltimore County Executive Don Moeller and all of our sponsors, order some crab cakes from Fadley's and make sure you're shopping local, because local needs you more than ever. We are WNST.net, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking. Baltimore Positive.